is All India Radio's 107.1 FM Rainbow. Welcome to our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's show is hosted by Vikash Mittersen, Honorary Consul General of the Republic of Mali, in conversation with Her Excellency Andrea Kuhn, Consul General of South Africa.
We have with us today Consul General of South Africa, Her Excellency Miss Andrea Kuhn. She has had a very long diplomatic stint, and we'll get into that by and by. Welcome to All India Radio, Miss Andrea.
Thank you, Mr. Mittersen, and thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to also talk about South Africa today.
That's what we want to ask you, and we want to know more about South Africa and the relations between India and South Africa.
Up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fold it up, oh, oh, and if you fold it up, eh, eh, tamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. It's time for Africa. Listen to your guy, this is our motto. Your time to shine, don't wait in line. Vamos por todo. People are raising their expectations. Go on and feed them, this is your moment. Hesitation. Today's your day, I feel it. You pave the way, believe it. If you get down, get up, oh, oh. When you get down, get up, hey, hey. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This time for Africa. Tamina, mina, hey, hey. Waka, waka, hey, hey. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. Anawa, ah, ah. Tamina, mina, hey, hey. Waka, waka, hey, hey. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm well on my journey, biggie, biggie, mama, 1 A to Z. My sister's all on my journey, biggie, biggie, mama, from east to west. My city, waka, waka, my eh, eh. Waka, waka, my eh, eh. Sang this is Samazibu, yeah. Cause this is Africa.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is Her Excellency Andrea Kuhn, Consul General of South Africa, in conversation with Vikash Mittersen, Honorary Consul of Republic of Mali.
So I'd like to start with your early life. Were you born in South Africa? Did you grow up there? And what about your college?
No, I'm a fully born and bred South African.
Yes.
My family settled in South Africa in the 1700s, so many, many years ago.
Okay.
I grew up in South Africa in the north, close to the Kruger National Park, which is very familiar to many people
to
in
everybody.
India.
Yeah.
So as a child, I had the opportunity to go to the park quite often because it was about nearby? an hour's drive
away. That's all.
Yes, ah, yes.
How so lucky you are.
Remember camping with my family, listening to the lions under the full moon. So that was a great experience. I studied in South Africa at one of the universities. I have a legal degree.
Okay, law.
A law degree, yes. I did a 5-year law degree and then decided to join the diplomatic service.
Okay.
Which I was fortunate enough to be accepted. And during that time, we had to do a training course of 2 years.
All right.
So it was an on-the-job training, so spending time in the classroom, but also spending time in the office.
So. Okay. So what made you get into the Foreign Service? Did you have a liking for it? Did you want to travel?
Yes, yes. I think, you know, growing up in South Africa in the 1970s and 80s, I was always curious about the world and world affairs, specifically growing up in South Africa in that time. So it was always my interest to be in politics and be in world affairs. Yes. So the diplomatic service was always something that I thought would, could be a good career. So after I studied and finished my legal degree, I approached the diplomatic service, our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and then had the opportunity to apply and was successful. So yes, in 1991, I was accepted to be part of the diplomatic program. And what was really nice about the fact that I joined in that year was the first time that we were a diplomatic group of trainees that was fully representative of South Africa. Because you might recall that in early 1919, President Mandela was released from Robben Island from his 27 years of incarceration. Course. So by 1991, we were in a transitional executive council that at that point took care while we were preparing to hold the first democratic elections in South Africa. So there were many young people like me at that time that decided we want to contribute to building this new South Africa. And that was also part of my decision to say that I see this is where I can best contribute to building this new South Africa.
Lovely. So just to repeat, today we have Consul General of South Africa, Her Excellency Miss Andrea Kuhn.
It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. It's gonna take some time to do the things we never
I bless the rains down in Africa. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If you've got so used to listening to FM Rainbow Mumbai and you've moved to another state or another country, be it Singapore, Hong Kong, the UK, US or Canada, don't be disappointed. You can still tune into us. Go to Play Store and download the app Prasad Bharati's News on Air. Once you've done that, open the app. You'll see the radio icon. Click on it. You'll see an entire list of radio channels across India. Click on FM Rainbow Mumbai and voila, you will be immediately tuned into us. Let your family and friends across the globe know about Prasad Bharati's News on Air app. Download it now. All we hear is Radio Gaga, Radio Gaga, Radio was new. Radio, someone still loves you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is Her Excellency Andrea Kuhn, Consul General of South Africa, in conversation with Vikash Mittersain, Honorary Consul of Republic of Mali.
Tell me, what is the South Africa of now and the one before? Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, no. I think I can't stop talking about it because what we've achieved in South Africa should not be forgotten. I mean, I grew up as a child under apartheid South Africa, yes. So I experienced it firsthand. As a white South African, I also benefited from living in that system. Mm-hmm. So that's why I also feel it's important to speak about what happened and how we've changed as a country.
Yes.
And if I compare the life in South Africa today to what I lived as a child, I say to people that South Africa today is a normal country. In the 70s and 80s, it was abnormal.
So, I know.
Yes, we lived in total isolation, apart from each other.
Because there was apartheid everywhere. Apartheid. The whole world had stopped talking to South Africa.
Absolutely. I mean, although as a child, your life was very protected.
Yes.
Also, the system in our schools, in daily life, the social, the community life was extremely protected. For somebody like me. So really getting exposed to what the country was about and the majority of the people that lived in the country were very protected unless
very
you
good.
Were curious, unless you asked questions, which of course the government of the day did not really allow.
Yeah, discouraged.
They really discouraged that. So if I think today, as I said, it's a normal society. You see people interacting with each other. You see our schools being integrated, universities, our jobs, our workplace. Of course, we've got a very long way to go. Apartheid was a crime against humanity. The United Nations declared on that.
Yeah.
So the damage that was done to us as a society is deep. And people still today are very traumatized of the experiences they went through. It's very much part of who we are, and it's going to take a few generations to also deal with all those things. But we just last year had our 6th democratic elections in South Africa.
Oh, that's good.
It was free, it was fair, without any interference or any violence. So we are getting there. We are only 26 years old as a democracy.
Oh, it's 26.
It's very young.
I remember
young.
The 25th year, there was a big thing done by the consulate.
Yes, you're right.
I remember that.
Yes.
It's a big event.
We truly celebrate it because I think all of us, we were part of that. We experienced that. We saw how we have grown into it, and we're very proud of the achievement. The fact that South Africa could resolve its challenges peacefully through dialogue, and that's also the message that South Africa wishes to carry out and wishes to convey to other countries who are experiencing difficulties, that there are solutions, there are peaceful means to conflicts.
Correct.
But you need to talk to the other. You need to sit down to hear the other side's point of view. And that's what South Africa did. It was through peaceful negotiations.
Yes, that was an amazing thing to happen.
Yes.
Such an amazing change.
Absolutely.
You know, from a complete white control.
Yeah.
Giving it up to...
We call it the majority.
Majority control.
Yes, the majority of the
And then
the
living
population.
Together peacefully after that.
Yes.
I mean, it is... Nothing like this has happened in the world before.
Yeah. Now, of course, we've had great leaders. I mean, the former President Mandela.
Yeah.
I mean, his guidance, his vision, his determination, but also his skill to bring the people of South Africa together.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many books and films that's been written about this. But there were many other people. There were many, many people in society in many different levels, you know, teachers, people in community, you know, the leaders, to bring this message about, to say that, you know, we need to coincide side by side, and united we are stronger. So I think that the message got conveyed wide. We were also led by visionary leaders like Archbishop Tutu.
Yes,
of course.
Who
headed our Truth and Reconciliation
Commission.
Of course,
I remember reading all about that.
Yes, and I mean, it was for people like him who had the moral and the political high ground to say to the South Africans, let's deal with these issues as much as we can. Mm. Of course, there can always be things that we can do better, that we could have been done more.
Or in hindsight, when you say we should have done this or not done this.
Exactly.
But that's the best you could think of at that time.
At that time.
And it worked out well.
It worked out well. And of course, today we are still dealing with the challenges. I mean, one of our biggest challenges today is the economic apartheid that was created. So to make sure that everybody in South Africa can participate in the economy, can have a decent and sustainable job, because the scars of apartheid, unfortunately, the majority of our population were left out of the economic sphere. So there's lots of work still to be done. Nation building, social cohesion, these are all issues that are very important.
It was such a changeover.
Yes. And I must also, India has played an enormous role in fighting apartheid. They were one of the most vocal opponents of apartheid on a global sphere. I remember preparing to come to India and just reading these historic documents, these letters that O.R. Tambo wrote to the leaders of the day of India during that time, and the letters that former President Mandela wrote, and the letters he received, and always the enormous support that came from India. Never mind if it was at an international sphere, but also people to people. You can see that there was a real connection between the leadership of the day and understanding what needed to be done. So, I mean, we can never thank our friends like India, which we always include, for the role they played in South Africa becoming a free and democratic country.
I also have a brief history which comes to mind now. My experience, so to say, about apartheid.
Yes.
So my father was a traveling salesman, so to say, of textiles. Once he landed in South Africa and he had booked a hotel.
Yes.
But they didn't let him in.
Oh my.
We said, but I'm already holding a confirmation.
Yeah.
They said, no, but we thought you were a German by your name.
My goodness.
By your name, but we're sorry, we can't let you in to the hotel. So I always remember his coming back and telling us that. Of course, he found another hotel.
Yeah.
But that was my little bit of brush with apartheid.
Yeah. Now, and I mean, that was the normal life for the majority of our citizens, that they were excluded from very normal things than just booking into a hotel because of the Groups Areas Act that was still in force at that time.
This is what he experienced.
Yeah. As I said to you, it was an abnormal life.
Yeah.
Because it was an abnormal situation. Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is Her Excellency Andrea Kuhn, Consul General of South Africa, in conversation with Vikash Mittersain, Honorary Consul of Republic of Mali.
There is a lot of history between, as you mentioned, India and South Africa, particularly linked by Nelson Mandela and our own Gandhi, who actually learnt all these things there. And then he came back to India and he went into the freedom struggle or movement or whatever you call it. So what is the image of Gandhi in South Africa?
Gandhi is very
much... Is he still remembered? Or?
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
There's not one South African, if you ask,
who doesn't know
Gandhi. Uh-huh. He's very much part of our history.
Yes.
He's highly respected and people remember him very fondly. He played such a significant role in the lives of our own leaders. Because if you look at President Mandela, whenever he referred to Gandhi, it was with such respect and revere that... He also said that his views and what he portrayed and what he was standing for, the values, influenced him as a person greatly. So it is with great respect that we remember Gandhi. And everywhere in South Africa where Gandhi walked, you will find there's a Gandhi Square, there's a memorial site. Oh. There's a Gandhi house. I mean, where he stayed just outside of Durban, there's a whole community that is still active. And there's a museum and where, you know, the words that he spoke and what he stood for is very actively portrayed. So we also say to people, when you visit South Africa and you're interested in history and these things are important to you, go and walk in the footsteps of Gandhi, and because it's all there. And I had the fortunate opportunity when Prime Minister Modi visited South Africa in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We reenacted the incident on the train when he got thrown off
the
train.
We heard about that. I was coming to that.
Yes, and he had spent the night in the cold on the station of Pietermaritzburg. And that's also where it said he started conceptualizing.
That's when he learned.
Yes.
The real life that made him what he was, what he became later.
And the injustice and the fact that human dignity can be determined by the color of your skin and that, you know, we should care for each other as human beings. And there's this beautiful statue on the platform of the Pietermaritzburg station.
Okay.
It is a statue, it's two-sided. The one has the face of Gandhi, the young lawyer, coming from England, dressed in his Western clothes.
Yeah.
And the other side is,
is
Gandhi, the man that we know. And it's a beautiful statue that's definitely...
We only know him as what he later became.
Yes. He was active already in South Africa. I mean, if one read the history of the time that he spent in South Africa, it was he was very active also in establishing this community that is still there. Outside of Durban. So yes, there's definitely the influence is very visible still in South Africa.
So coming away from that history bit, can you tell me what is the modern South Africa? Tell me about what works there and what doesn't work. How does it compare to the rest of the world? The business, the industry, and your tourism, of course.
Well, South Africa sees itself very much as part of the global south. We're a developing country.
Yes.
And we take this role very serious. We also see ourselves as part of the African continent. And therefore, our main priority in terms of our foreign policy is looking towards the African continent. President Mandela always made the statement that you cannot be a country...
In isolation,
and you live in an island of wealth in a sea surrounded by poverty. You need to also look at what's the impact on your neighbors. So for the sixth administration of President Ramaphosa, as I mentioned, we had elections last year, looking at the economic well-being and social well-being of the citizens at this point is key. Our economy, unfortunately, has, like many other countries, been affected by the global economic slowdown. So getting our economy growing again, inserting that stimulus to get the economy growing, to look after a very youthful population. Mm-hmm. We share that with India. The majority of our population is under 35.
Oh, you too.
So, yes. Okay. So to make sure we create sustainable jobs for them so that they can also build a better future. Of course, it's addressing the issues of the past, the legacies of the past. Yeah. So in terms of the education challenges, making sure that now everybody has an opportunity to mm-hmm. education, but yes. a good education,
mm-hmm.
not to give kids a schooling that yes. is not going to help them to find a job later in life,
yes.
to ensure that there's healthcare for all our citizens, yeah. because in the past, these things were not available yes. to our citizens.
Okay.
It is important to address also the inequality in yeah. our society that yes. was created by apartheid. So government is spending a lot of time and resources on,
yes,
that.
On that.
And also to address issues of poverty, to make sure that our citizens can have a decent living and have opportunity to have a decent living. We also see ourselves very much part, as I said, of the global world. So South Africa is a member of the United Nations. We're currently a non-permanent okay. member of the UN Security Council.
Mm.
We will end our term at the end of this year. And one of the key priorities for us, which is also a policy that is driven domestically, is the empowerment of women. South Africa fully recognizes that the women must be included in the economic.
I wanted to come to that.
Absolutely. Because they build societies, that you cannot have one part of your community that's vulnerable and left out. So driving that agenda is very important to us. Also, peace and security issues is important because a lot of the agenda items on the UNSC,
mm-hmm.
of course, deals with security issues on the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
We're a member of BRICS,
yeah.
with India,
yes.
we're in that body,
yeah.
and also looking after the interest of the Global South.
Yeah.
We're a member of IPSA, IORA, the Indian Ocean Rim Association.
Okay, I've not heard of that.
It's a body where all the countries in the Indian Ocean
yes.
belong to.
Oh, okay.
South Africa was the chair until last year. We gave
yeah.
over the chairship
yeah.
to the United Arab
yeah.
Emirates.
Oh, okay.
And during our three-year chairship, we drove the concept that the Indian Ocean should be an ocean of peace, prosperity and development.
Right.
This is also taking into consideration the blue economy and the ocean economy and the enormous potential
yes.
that is available to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So IORA was one of those very important organizations, and we're very active, like India,
yeah.
in IORA. We're also a member of the G20.
Mm.
So we're playing an active role as well, seeing that we're the only African country on the G20. So we also... We take that as a responsibility to represent the interest of Africa in that grouping as well. And I did mention that we took over the chair of the African Union.
Oh, yes.
We assumed the chairship in February this year. So
okay.
we're also taking over a huge responsibility of chairing the continental body this year.
Very good.
We'll be right back.
Just to recap, we have with us the Consul General of South Africa, H.E. Miss Andrea Kuhn. Welcome once again. I am Vikash Mithasen. Tell me again, you mentioned you skirted upon the lives of women. So I moved ahead of apartheid now. In India, you know that there is still a little bit of discrimination between the man and woman. Though it's now getting ironed out because all women are now getting educated. So is there any discrimination there in South Africa?
I'm very glad you raised this also during Women's Month, because I think it's so important to also address this issue and support countries that are dealing with issues of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
In South Africa, there's no policy that would allow for the discrimination.
Right.
We have a very progressive constitution, being such a young democracy. So we had the opportunity to learn from what other countries included in their constitutions, India being one of them.
Yeah.
So our constitution was adopted in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that is included in the preamble is that there should be no discrimination.
At all.
At all. Sex, gender, whatever. So, I mean, it's protected in our constitution. But unfortunately, the reality
in real
on
life,
the ground, it's different. And we know that. We can see also in our societies that women are still very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Which, of course, then creates problems of violence against you women, which is something that the government has launched a campaign to make sure that there's public awareness and to provide facilities and means for women to report such incidents and to be safe if things like that happen. So that is very important. Under the current government of South Africa and the cabinet of President Ramaphosa, 50% of the cabinet are women.
Are women, oh, really?
So we have to take our hat off to the president to
it's
take
really
that
amazing.
Decision. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And also in the National Executive Council of the African National Congress, who is the majority party in South Africa and also the governing party, therefore. Also, the NEC's 50% is women.
Okay.
So there's a real commitment from government to address these issues. But unfortunately, you see in private sector.
Yes, that's what I was coming to. What about jobs?
Yes.
What about things which matter to women?
Yes. No, absolutely.
Is there equality there?
No, unfortunately not.
Yes.
We still have a way to go. We do see that in when you look at the profile of who heads our big multinational companies in South Africa, it's still driven.
Still driven by men.
Men, unfortunately. Yes. So there are also a drive to see what we can do to support young women, to give them the necessary exposure and give them skills to also advance and give them the opportunities in these sectors. But unfortunately, in rural areas, the same message does not always carry.
So there is the divide there also.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. And because of life and the demands of life, we see them leaving school earlier, unfortunately. And so there's a lot of work to do still within South Africa. And I think, you know, this is what is important, that countries like India and South Africa, we should share the best practices.
Yes.
What are the programs in India? Because I've seen wonderful initiatives
progress
and progress, and that we can share to see how we can address these issues better. Because a strong society needs strong women.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I am a complete believer in this. In India, there is this term which says, educate the girl child.
Yeah.
And this has become very common now.
Yeah.
But people don't know that 30 years back, I had coined this phrase, educate the girl child. And so I was a complete believer. And I used to put it on my letterhead, on the back of my visiting card. And people used to say, why do you write this? I said, I think India needs this. But we've come a long way. It's all happening now. Though there is yet, as you say, women are not yet up to that level, or not allowed to be up to that level. But it is going towards that.
Yeah. Now, I have to congratulate you, because I think it is when people take initiative and drive it. You know, it can't always be driven by government, these messages. The change needs to start.
On the ground, people should be doing this.
Yes, yes.
I also educated about 160 girls in my area where I lived then. And educated, I paid for their entire education from first standard right up to graduation. Then it stopped for some other reasons, but this was my initiative 30 years back.
Well, I can say that since I've joined the Foreign Service, we only once had a male foreign minister. So the last three foreign ministers in South Africa have all been female. So
that's so great to hear.
Yes, so we're hoping now that we'll also have a female president in the near future.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
But India beat you to that.
Yes.
Long back.
Long time ago.
Yeah. We had Indira Gandhi.
Yes.
And she was a force in the world.
Yes. And had very good relations with South Africa.
Yes.
No, and she, very supportive. Her government was very supportive of the African National Congress.
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
Dear listeners, you're listening to our show Consular Access with FM Rainbow, and today's guest with us is Her Excellency Andrea Kuhn, Consul General of South Africa, in conversation with Vikash Mittersain, Honorary Consul of Republic of Mali.
Tell me what happened to the diamond mines. There was a time when South Africa and diamond mines were spoken on the same tone. Are they still in existence? Do they still have an equal impact?
Now, South Africa is blessed.
I'm forgetting the name of that company, which
De Beers.
De Beers.
Yes. Now we're blessed. We have ample and we're rich in mineral resources in terms of gold, diamond, platinum, and all these
everything.
Others.
Mm.
And there was a time when people said it's a twilight sector, we're moving away from it. But I attended the investment summit that President Ramaphosa hosted in November last year, where the message was very clear that this industry is not dead.
Going away.
It's not going away. There's still many opportunities.
Yes.
And we also see South Africa cooperating with India in terms of sharing mining experience, expertise, and also our technology. Although, yes, the diamond mines, and we see the commodity prices are
down.
So it also has an impact on all of us.
Especially diamond pricings have all gone down.
Yes. But yeah, of course, the beers is still one of the
strong.
Very strong. But they have moved their headquarters. They're no longer in South Africa. Yes.
Are they not in Dubai now?
They've moved to London, I think.
Or London.
Yes, okay. Yes. I think they moved to London. Yeah. But they still have a big presence in South Africa, in Botswana, Namibia. So they're still there. They're still present,
How is the trade between India and South Africa? I was told it was in the region of $5 billion.
No, luckily,
or more.
I can report it's about $10 billion.
It's $10
billion.
Okay.
Yes. We see trade between South Africa and India growing year on year, not as much as we would have wanted to, because we do see enormous opportunities to do much better and have much deeper economic relations. The balance of trade is fairly much equal.
Equal.
There's a good balance in our trade relations. But for South Africa, what is a challenge is that the majority of our export are raw material.
Okay.
Over 60% of our exports to India is coal.
Oh.
And as we are both committed to climate change and moving to green energy, we do see that this will have an impact also on the trade between South Africa and India. In January this year, our Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, our foreign minister, met with Dr. Jaishankar in New Delhi for the 10th Joint Ministerial Commission meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And during this meeting, they both recognized the enormous potential to grow this relationship and then set a target to move this 10 billion to 18 billion.
Oh, yeah.
So as civil service, we now have a target.
Target to do.
That we know there's within a certain time frame. So we all have to work harder to see what we can do to improve that. Of course, the investments from India into South Africa is quite significant.
Mm-hmm.
All the big Indian companies, they're all there. Mahindra, the Tata, Cipla, all of these, they have manufacturing plants. We want to increase their footprint in South Africa because we also see there's a lot of benefit for them and to grow this market. And specifically because this is the year that the African Continental Free Trade Area Agreement will come into operation. We expect it by the 1st of July.
Mm-hmm.
This agreement will take effect. All the member countries signed last year. So South Africa, under its chairship of the African Union, we have to finalize the last outstanding issues.
Mm-hmm.
And South Africa is hosting an extraordinary summit on the African Continental Free Trade Agreement in May in Johannesburg to finalize all these last issues. So in July, this agreement will come into effect. Yes. And therefore, there's huge opportunities into the continent to use South Africa also as a springboard into the rest of the continent.
Miss Andrea, I have run out of time, but I have several more questions to ask, which probably we'll have to do this again someday.
Anytime, it will be my pleasure.
Thank you very much to be with me and All India Radio.
Thank you very much.
We have Miss Andrea Kuhn, the Consul General of South Africa in Mumbai. And I am Vikash Mithasen. Thank you again. Symphony. She's only known as Symphony.
Soul of me, symphony, she's sort of like a song, she moves along, in perfect rhyme, oh la la, right now, be a perfect time, babe. You and me. Like violins, music begins, starts to swell, and I can't tell.
that pretty soul. We gonna be in tune. Our hearts will be in perfect.